And this next song, African Bossa Nova, is going to feature Richard Michael on bass, as well as Scott Lanningham, as we do the things. And David, I'll take that shaker, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. Richard Michael on bass. Scott Lanningham on drums. Sean Giddings on piano. Micah Malone on saxophone. Andre Hayward on trombone. And David Young on trumpet. As we explore the other, so many ways inside as we go. So a little bit of Bud Powell, a little bit of Malik. And now we turn to the angry man of jazz himself.
It's my
Charles
favorite.
Mingus.
Woo! Favorite. You know, I've been wanting to do a show on Mingus since we did a show on Mingus.
We did a show on Mingus like 3 years ago. Exactly.
Anyone? Anyone here for the Mingus show?
Gotta give Phenomenal. Me a devil woman.
And talking about the other, you know, Mingus has such an interesting relationship to the other, never really feeling at home.
Yes.
Why is that?
Here's a quote from Charles Mingus. I am Charles Mingus, half black man, yellow man, half yellow, not even yellow, nor white enough to pass for nothing but black and not too light enough to be called white.
And he was tossed into many battles that really
so many.
He didn't have anything to do with, but they were just...
So he, so many, and there's many who think that he was clinically depressed as well, but you know, that's just medical science talking. But you know, the idea is that he found himself on the outs with so many and so many things, and just we could talk about him for years, and I would like to actually. But there's a joke that you might know. It's in Yiddish. Lachen mit Yash Cherkis. Nobody? It means to laugh bitterly through our pain, to keep from crying. We laugh to keep from crying. And I think that was Charles Mingus's way of coping. He was an exceptional prodigy in his music, and he kept trying to find ways to express himself very similarly to Bud Powell, I think, in ways that when they obviously played together a lot. Charles Mingus, a bass player. And we're going to feature a tune which is rarely done, which I think is going to be great. It's called The Clown.
You know, this tune, I can't believe we're doing it. I mean, I can. I'm very excited that we're going to do this. But
I did Abby Lincoln. We're doing this.
That's true. It points to something about Mingus and about this tune and about the idea of laughter and the joke. And those are who are inside the joke and outside the joke. You know, those who get it and those who don't get it. And really, what The Clown is such a poignant piece because it intensifies this idea that the joke is kind of always on us.
Absolutely. And we are the joke, and you're the joke, and we're living in a joke, 100%. Which is why, is anything all right? Right? So The Clown was recorded in 1957. It wasn't released until 1961. And it's an improvised tragicomic narrative which features Jimmy Nepper on the trombone, which a year after it was released, Charles Mingus actually punched Jimmy Nepper in the face on stage, and he was actually charged with assault. Because you don't punch a trombone, you don't punch anybody, but you don't punch a trombone player in the face, ever, okay? Exactly. Even if he's got a purple trombone. But this is the first song, The Clown, was to feature a longtime drummer, Danny Richmond, who played with Mingus until Mingus's death in 1979. This is the first time he played with him in 1957. And it also features Gene Shepherd. Anybody? Gene Shepherd, right? He was an American storyteller. And this is obviously another theme of today. You guys ever see A Christmas Story? So he's the narrator, and it's loosely based on Gene Shepherd's life. And in fact, people like Garrison Keillor and Jerry Seinfeld base a lot of their humor on Gene Shepherd. I'm not going to improvise it because I want to keep to what they did. But he combines a lot of fact and fiction. But how do we live, and how do we tell our lives, and how do we represent? What do we cloak? What do we conceal? What do we open up? The various ways of half-truths, which I think, again, as we look at our current landscape in this world, is how do we present, and what do we present, and what do we choose not to present, I think is very important. And I think The Clown is an amazing piece. It's a spoken word piece. So it's going to be, if you follow the story.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
It's funny, sad.
But you know, we did Views and Brews on magic last week. I'm not sure if anybody was there with the Illusionists, which was actually fantastic. And getting ready for the show, I was talking to you, and you said this really, really nice thing, which was, you said, you know, the word abracadabra is Aramaic, and what it means is to create as you speak. And Mingus, in a lot of interviews that he's done and a lot of the ways that he creates himself, he's creating himself as he's speaking. And he talks a lot about magic and hypnosis in the work that he does and in the music that he creates. And I think that's something really poignant in this piece, that he's creating this as he's speaking. He's creating himself
absolutely
into existence.
And Gene Shepherd, who's making stuff up as he goes, is exactly, they're in the particular zone of saying, I'm present, so what do I do? And do I trust myself enough to actually make a difference? To say, I don't other anybody else, because I have to be essentially me right now.
Mm-hmm. But we're also doing that with people who want to believe.
That's true. If you're in the room, if you're in the conversation, plenty of folks, you know, pride themselves on saying that they're worshiping really alterity, that we're outside, that that's not the group for me, and I'm going to craft my own identity, but why I'm not. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not that, and therefore I can take the shards of all of that and you know, cobble together something that I am, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever, in my opinion. One has to do a deep dive in one's own sensibilities. I mean, there's a sense, even if it's scary, as Freud says, a person should not strive to eliminate his complexes, but to get into accord with them. They are legitimately what directs his conduct in the world. And people are more moral than they think and far more immoral than they can imagine. So I think that's true. And if we're ready to face that void, if we're ready to stare into that void, then I think that we can do a good service in not diminishing other people, but allowing ourselves a chance to become as imperfect as we are in order to realize that that's the scope of our life, is to sharpen what we need to sharpen.
So we're going to hear The Clown. We're also going to hear another piece. And let's talk about our last person before we open things up for questions and hear the final two pieces, John Coltrane.
So I chose John Coltrane, and we did one of our first Views and Brews.
It was the second jazz
Views. So it was the John Coltrane, and I chose John Coltrane specifically because I wanted to do My Favorite Things, and the John Coltrane version of My Favorite Things, which you may recognize from Rodgers and Hammerstein, right? The Sound of Music, which is on mostly during Christmas time. Let's see how I'm trying to do that, right? And if you remember My Favorite Things, it's in the musical, How to Occupy Our Mind When Things Are Bad. And to me, what John Coltrane does is he says, I see what the American landscape is, and I'm going to own it wholly. I'm going to take it by, I'm not going to write God Bless America. I'm not going to write White Christmas. I'm going to use those forms, those beautiful, beloved forms of American music, and I'm going to make it my own. And what he does is what Michael Malone will do on the soprano saxophone, is completely base himself in a tradition and say, and I am here. I don't have to lose myself in a tradition like Irving Berlin did, but I can claim the tradition, make it mine. I don't have to go wholly outside of who I am, but I can become who I need to be, and it can inform me and my life as well. As John Coltrane says, my goal is to live the truly religious life and express it through my music. If you can live it, there's no problem about the music, because it's part of the whole thing. For I want to be a force for real good. I know that there are bad forces, forces that bring suffering to others and misery to the world, but I want to be the opposite force. I want to be the force which is truly for good. So he doesn't have to get outside of himself to do that. He can look squarely into the face of America and say, here I am, and we need each other.
That's beautiful. Well, let's take a couple questions before the last two pieces. Jack Anderson is going to come around with the microphone. Make sure you raise your hand and get on mic, because we want to make sure you're on the podcast also. Is there? I can't really see Jack, or else I would navigate. Feel free to not ask a question as well.
So how do we, you know, in terms of othering each other, I mean, I think we need evenings like this. And we need to be fearless in our conversations as well. For we live in a very dangerous world. We live in a very fragile world. And nuance and ambiguity is not something that we should take for granted anymore. And no matter what happens in the next few months, we do need each other, even if we don't agree, and especially if we don't agree, because we need to continue to build strong relationships together in order to push back the evil forces that are out there.
Well, if there are no questions, let's have more music.
Great. So again, wonderful piece called The Clown. And pay attention. And then we'll finish with my favorite things, the John Coltrane version. And we invite, with pride and delight, our wonderful musicians back on stage. This clown, and he was a real happy guy, He had all these greens and all these yellows and all these oranges bubbling around inside of him, and he had just one thing he wanted in the world. He just wanted to make people laugh. That's all he wanted out of the world. He was a real happy guy. You about this clown. He used to raise a sweat every night out on that stage and just wouldn't stop. That's how hard he worked. He was trying to make people laugh. He used to have this cute little gimmick where he had a seal follow him up and down a stepladder, blowing Columbia, the gem of the ocean, on a B-flat Sears Roebuck Model 1322A plastic bugle. A real cute act. But they didn't laugh. Well, you know, a few little things here and there, but not really. And he was booking out in all of these tank towns, playing the Rotary Club and the Kiwanis Club and the American Legion Hall. And he just wasn't making it. And he had all these wonderful things going on inside of him. All these greens and yellows and all these oranges. He's a real happy guy. And all he wanted to do was make people laugh. That's all he wanted out of this world, was to make people laugh. And then something began to grow. Something that just wasn't good began to grow inside of this guy. Trouble this clown, you know, little things. Little things once in a while would happen that would make that crowd begin to move, but they were never the right things. Like, for example, that time the seal got sick on the stage, all over the stage, the crowd just broke up. You know, little things like that. And they weren't supposed to be in the act, and they weren't supposed to be funny. This began to trouble him, and it bothered him. And this little thing began to grow inside. And all those greens and all those oranges and all those yellows, they just weren't as bright as they used to be. And all he wanted to do was to make that crowd laugh. That's all he wanted to do. There was this one night in Dubuque when he was playing the Rotary Club. all these dentists, all these druggists, all these postmen sitting around, and they were a real cold bunch. Nothing was happening. He was leaving the stage when he stumbled over his ladder and fell flat on his face. Just flat on his face. And when he stands up and he's got this bloody nose and he looks out at the crowd, and that crowd is just rolling on the floor. He's just knocked them flat out. This begins to trouble him even more, and he begins to see something. He begins to see something. Things begin to change, but really change. Not the least of which, our clown changes his act. He bought himself a set of football pads, a yellow helmet with red stripes, hired a girl who dropped a 5-pound sack of flour on his head every night from maybe 20 feet up. Oh man, what a bit! That just broke them up every night, but not like Dubuque. And all those colors, all those yellows, all those reds, all those oranges, a lot of gray in there now, a lot of blue. And all he wanted to do was make this crowd laugh. That's all he wanted out of this world. They were laughing all right. Not like Dubuque, but they were laughing, and the dough started to come in. He was playing the big towns, Chicago, Detroit, and then it was Pittsburgh one night. A real fine town, Pittsburgh, you know. But 3/4 way through his act, a rope broke. Down came the backdrop right on the back of the neck, and he went flat, and something broke. This was it. It hurt way down deep inside. He tried to get up. He looked out at the audience, and man, you should have seen that crowd. They were rolling in the aisles. This was bigger than Dubuque. This was bigger than Dubuque. He really had them going. This was it. But this was the last one. This was the last one. He knew now. Man, he really knew now. But it was too late. And all he wanted was to make this crowd laugh. Well, they were laughing. But now he knew. That was the end of the clown. Should have seen the bookings come in. Man, his agent was on the phone for 24 hours. The Palladium, MCA, William Morris, knew now. He really knew. He really knew now. William Morris sends regrets. So some of you may want to have a sneak preview of what my high holiday services are like.
Thank you.
Stone, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Langingham on drums, thank you so much. Richard, thank you for joining us on bass this evening, sir. Sean Giddings, phenomenal. Over there in the corner, David Young on trumpet, thank you, thank you. Andre Hayward, trombone. He might have to, where'd you go? There you are. And Rabbi Neil Blumhoff, thank you so much, sir.
You've been listening to A Views and Brews, recorded live at the Cactus Cafe in Austin, Texas, for KUT Radio. You'll find a complete archive of all of our Views and Brews in the iTunes Store, or go to KUT.org for more information. Thanks for listening.